You know, it was over 80 years ago that the famous Dr. Edward H. Carey, who was the founder of the Southwestern Medical Foundation, said if you could make one gift, you would choose without question the gift of better health. Boy, was he right. And it's something we have certainly learned. Kathleen Gibson is now the president and CEO of the Southwestern Medical Foundation. In fact, she has been for the last 8-plus years and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, David.
80 years. This is organization's been around a long time. Tell me about the Southwestern Medical Foundation. What do you do?
Well, this was the original public health care charity for the Southwestern United States. And the idea, of course, 80 years ago was to attack the problem of public health and to build a medical center. It had been something that Carey had worked on literally 40 years in our community, trying to address the problem of the lack of quality care for a growing population. That being said, he had a vision, and it included a medical center, and he started the foundation in order to build it. That dream came true. 4 years later, we lost the medical school to Houston, Baylor College of Medicine, and Southwestern Medical Foundation started Southwestern Medical College of Southwestern Medical Foundation and owned it and ran it for 6 years. Ultimately, that all became the medical center that was given to University of Texas System several years later. But literally starting healthcare as we know it in Dallas is the foundation's purpose, and then now our legacy and mission.
And so now you're tied to UT Southwest. Is that right?
It's a public, we gave the medical school assets to the state, but it's a public healthcare charity that retained its own independent status.
So this is, you act as a conduit. You have lots of individual guests, but a lot of wealthy people give money, and I guess it comes out of estates, that sort of thing. It's for planned giving to the greatest degree.
Current giving, planned giving, you know, gifts, of course, come in many sizes and many forms, land, real estate, assets. We've had a lot of generous donors giving in many different forms. So the foundation's become known as a place certainly where complex estates can be well managed in planned giving, but also a place where funds are managed well, and people are managing on the board that they know. And so many of the campaign funds over the years came to the foundation and continue so today.
But do you still have like annual giving and fundraisers and that sort of thing? Or is most of your money coming out of, you know, estates and wills and, like I say, planned giving?
Well, over the course of time is a great question. Over the course of time, we've really looked at it, and the foundation assets probably have been built a third with and through planned giving, but two-thirds through current giving. The current giving can be an endowed asset. It can be a current purpose fund, but I'd say one-third, two-thirds. And over the course of time, the growth has really come through campaigns. So, for example, in the late 80s, the first significant campaign to raise funds for, let's say, faculty chairs was chaired by Robert Deckard, and significant funds came in through that campaign. The next campaign was Innovations in Medicine, chaired by Bill Solomon, and that campaign brought $770
million. Wow.
The next campaign was the William P. Clements Junior University Hospital campaign, and that's another $200 million. So today, really thinking about the Peter O'Donnell Brain Institute, and those are the real significant initiatives that bring the community together again and again and again.
So what sort of challenges has the pandemic presented? I would guess, on the one hand, you know, your necessity, the need for, you know, sort of a world-class research facility, among other things, is more apparent now than ever before. But on the other hand, a lot of people sort of gave up giving for a while, didn't they?
Well, I'd say in a crisis, you see two things, you know, people who really want to help in the crisis and jump in, and people who are, you know, unsure in the crisis as to, you know, what their own situation may be. And certainly we've seen both. But the response in healthcare is so heartwarming, because I do think that your point around people seeing why that original vision of public health matters, and why we can't get after intractable problems unless we study and research and build the highest quality research institutions that we can to solve these problems. And look at what's happened, how quickly some of these things were studied and understood and brought forth in this last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, everybody wanted to help healthcare workers and you know, the families affected. So our COVID response funds at the school and at the foundation were a tremendous opportunity for people who wanted to help.
Is there research being done actively here into the COVID virus?
Yes. At UT Southwestern, last I have heard, more than 230 projects on COVID alone in our Metroplex.
Wow. And this looks like something that's unfortunately going to be with us for a while. Maybe like the flu, some people say. You know, one of the things, one of the great devices for money for nonprofits that showed up over the last several years is getting wealthy people to make their required minimum distribution from IRAs or 401ks, retirement plans, directly to a charity. That way, you know, you avoid paying the tax on the money. But last year, they suspended required minimum distributions. That must have been a setback for you.
Well, you know, I don't know that it was. We still had probably the same volume of IRA gifts.
Really?
Yes. It's not an overwhelming part of our giving, so I wouldn't say that's a big, you know, compare-contrast example. But I didn't see too many things dropping off from our traditional IRA giving. I think what was probably more important as a trend was CARES Act being able to give more this year.
Yeah, you could give 100% deductibility on cash gifts, right?
Right.
But that was last year. Is that going to be this year also?
I hear it's been extended. 2021.
Really?
Yes, so that was a much bigger impetus for giving in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly can see that. So what's the health of the medical profession in North Texas? Do we have a world-class research university? They say every world-class city has to have one.
We do, and that's been measured in many ways. The research enterprise at UT Southwestern now is $500 million. It's a significant size, but it's also of significant quality, just in terms of the numbers of Academy members and Howard Hughes medical investigators working at the school, Nobel Prize winners. The quality of the research is side by side the quantity of research in terms of reputation and then results. And then if you look at cited research from UT Southwestern leading to innovation, it's one of the leading institutions in the world.
I'll end with that quote from Dr. Carey I like so much. If you could make one gift, you would choose without question the gift of better health. Like I say, always true, but more true now than ever before. We wish you the best.
It's a great vision. Yeah. Thank you, David. I wish you the best.
Sure. Kathleen Gibson is the president and CEO of the Southwestern Medical Foundation. For more of our conversation with Ms. Gibson, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.